Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Putri. First, the headlines. Minister Sri Mulyani optimistic World Bank President David Malpass to prioritize inequality resolution. KPU completes preparations for Jokowi-Prabowo pair's final debate. Now the news in detail. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati believes the newly appointed World Bank WB Group President David Malpass will prioritize and channel efforts to tackle several issues relating to inequality. In her statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, she said that perhaps in the Malpass era, greater concern will be shown for the Gini coefficient, inequality, and policies for optimal development of the country with the least intervention. Minister Sri also highlighted the need for a solution to the issue of inequality since it has the potential to significantly influence all stakeholders. Furthermore, she expects Malpass to focus on tackling corruption, addressing the issue of climate change, and collaborating with clients in the World Bank Group. Minister Sri Mulyani is confident that Malpass, who is an expert economist, will give special focus to small, poor, fragile, and island nations. The General Elections Commission, or KPU, announces in Jakarta on Friday that its site has concluded necessary technical preparations to hold the final round of debate involving Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin and Prabowo Subianto Sandiaga Uno pairs, scheduled on Saturday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the General Elections Commission Commissioner Firian Aziz informed to journalists on Friday that on Friday afternoon and evening, the Commission held simulated sessions along with representatives of both camps to ascertain smooth implementation of the fifth round of the presidential debate. The Commission has handed out 150 additional invitees to the two presidential and vice presidential candidate camps, as several others are interested in witnessing this final round of debate. Aziz believes that Jokowi and Subianto will use their final debate as a platform to prioritize discussions on economic issues to echo their vision and mission. The Ministry of Communications and Informatics launched Anti-Hoax Chatbot, a computer program designed to answer questions from the public about dubious information. The program was developed by the ministry along with Prosa, a natural language processing developer. The chatbot is connected to the Telegram instant messaging application via the @chatbot anti-hoax account. Director General of Information Application at the Ministry, Samuel A. Pangerapan, during the launch of the chatbot application service in Jakarta on Friday, as quoted by Antara News Agency, said that people can ask questions based on keywords or copy the article. The host clarification occurs via the chatbot from the ministry's AIS engine database. This chatbot service can also be used later through the WhatsApp and LINE applications. Ministry of Defense of the Republic of Indonesia signed 22 contracts at PT Pindad in Bandung, West Java on Friday to procure equipment for strategic defense weaponry Alutsista of military construction that totally costs $1.4 billion, or about 2.1 trillion rupiahs. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the signing of the 22 contracts, including 18 Alutsista contracts and 7 contracts related to construction, was witnessed directly by Minister of Defense Ria Mizar Rajudu. The contracts also include the signing of the construction of submarines in cooperation with PT PAL, Daewoo Shipbuilding, and Marine Engineering. He also said that this signing also reflects the government's commitment to procuring defense systems that are more transparent and accountable. State-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II has inaugurated the first heliport in Indonesia, located near Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten. The construction of the heliport on Jalan South Perimeter was jointly implemented by AP2 and PT White Sky Aviation. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, President Director of PT Angkasa Pura II, M. Awaluddin, in a press statement on Friday, said that with the completion of the first phase of its construction, the commercial heliport will commence operations, although on a trial basis. He expressed appreciation toward White Sky Aviation for its initiative to develop the heliport, saying that the facility would boost the reputation of the Soekarno-Hatta, the largest airport in the country. CEO of White Sky, Danon Prawiratmaja, said that the heliport was constructed on 2.7 hectares of land that was a supporting facility for Soekarno-Hatta. The heliport was part of the city public transportation facility to support Soekarno-Hatta. Bank Indonesia, BI, has recorded nearly 91 trillion rupiah or about $6.44 billion in capital inflows this year to date, 75 trillion rupiah of which was invested in government debt papers, SBNs, while the remainder was invested in the stock exchange. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, Deputy Governor of BI, Mirza Adityaswara, said on Friday that the inflow is good. The SBN auctions were always oversubscribed and the inflows through the stock exchange were recorded at 3.8 trillion rupiah this month, while those through SBNs had reached 1.2 trillion rupiah. Mirza further explained that this was different from the capital inflows that occurred last year, which were mostly invested in the stock exchange. However, the central bank also recorded that last year's capital outflows were quite high, reaching 24.9 trillion rupiah. Mirza added that the high capital inflows reflected investors' confidence in Indonesian macroeconomic conditions because the government has managed to control inflation. The last item. Bank Indonesia BI released on Thursday a report on the performance of the manufacturing sector in the first quarter of 2019, reflected in the Prompt Manufacturing Index PMIBI, which was recorded at 52.62%, higher than the 52.58% recorded in the fourth quarter of 2018. As reported by JakartaPost.com on Friday, that according to the business activity survey conducted by BI in the first quarter, the net weight balance, or SBT, an indicator used to reflect business sentiment and direction in the manufacturing sector, was recorded at 1%, higher than the 0.32% recorded in the previous quarter. The figure was in line with the Purchasing Managers Index PMI issued by Nikkei Indonesia. Nikkei Indonesia's Purchasing Managers Index also indicates the expansion in the manufacturing. Listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia. The first news comes from Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara. The Director General of Transmigration Area Development of the Ministry of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Areas and Transmigration established two districts in East Nusa Tenggara to develop a model of cooperation with investors to improve the welfare of the Kokkel community in East Sumba Regency and North Timor District. The Director General of Transmigration Area Development, Haji Nurdin, in Kupang said on Thursday that in accelerating the development of transmigration areas through the concept of integrated Mandiri City, the ministry cooperates with third parties with investment patterns. The aim is to improve people's welfare, reduce poverty, and open employment opportunities for the community. In addition to welfare of the people, cooperation with will invest for infrastructure and development in the area.
The next news comes from Madiun East Java. The Office of Social Affairs, Women's Empowerment and Child Protection of the City of Madiun organized a training program to recycle plastic waste into a product of economic value for the management of the village waste bank. Secretary of the Department of Social Affairs, Women's Empowerment and Child Protection of the City of Madiun, Warsini, told reporters in Madiun on Thursday the program was aimed at training waste bank managers to recycle plastic waste. In this activity, the waste bank administrators practice recycling plastic cups into lanterns as well as making wallets or bags from used plastic bags. Training in recycling plastic waste is expected to increase the amount of plastic waste processed and reduce the volume of plastic waste that goes into the Winongolan fill in Madiun City. According to data from the local environmental service, the garbage entering the Winongolan fill reaches 100 tons every day. The latest news comes from Jambi. Two sharp and flat metal objects were found in the Muaro Jambi Temple Complex, Jambi Province, which added to the list of findings of historical artifacts in the Southeast Asia's largest temple complex. Archaeologists from the South Sumatra Archaeology Center, Retno Purwanti, said on Wednesday that the metal was discovered when the team excavated the buried brick structure at Ujung Tanjung, which is a population field in the Muaro Jambi Temple Complex. The discovery was two metal objects with a length of about 15 centimeters, a kind of tool with a flat and pointed shape. Initial allegation, he continued, the objects found were historic relics in the Hindu-Buddhist temple complex from the 12th to 13th century AD. Archaeological site, the Muaro Jambi Archaeological Site is the largest Hindu-Buddhist temple complex in Southeast Asia with an area of 3,981 hectares spread across 8 villages including the nearest village, Muaro Jambi. That was news from Indonesia, from Voice of Indonesia to the world.
Hello listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with the birth of Garry Kasparov on April 13, 1963. Garry Kasparov was one of the most aggressive chess players of Russia. Even his name is associated with chess because of his unmatched talent and contribution for several chess theories. Kasparov, who was born in Baku, Azerbaijan on April 13, 1963, became the world junior champion in 1980. Even since December 1980 to February 1991, he was undefeated in single games. Kasparov, the Russian grandmaster, became the global best chess athlete in the 1985 to 2013 period. We move on to the beginning of civil war in Lebanon on April 13, 1975. On April 13, 1975, the civil war in Lebanon broke out due to the attacks by Palestinian Christian extremists against a bus which was carrying Palestinians and killed 30 among them. Because of this attack, the Lebanese Muslims and nationalists rose against the Palestinians. Later, the Palestinians retaliated against the Palestinian refugee camp in Lebanon. The civil war is provoked by Zionist regime with goal to distract the Lebanese and Palestinian Muslims from the regime. The civil war was ended in 1999 with a Taif Treaty signed by the conflicted parties. We end the segment of Today in History with the Soviet admitted the Katyn massacre.
On April 13, 1990, the Soviet Union government officially admitted committing massacre in Katyn Forest, Poland, during the World War II. In 1939, the Poland was invaded by the Nazi from the west and Soviet from the east. Early 1940, around 5,000 police soldiers were pushed by the Soviets to the Katyn Forest, where they were killed and buried. At that time, the Soviet leaders denied their act and pointed the Nazi to be accused. During Gorbachev's reign, he tried to strengthen the relationship with the West, and one of the efforts was by opening the history of Soviet Union during World War II. Therefore, the Soviet Union officially confessed the Katyn massacre. Listener, that was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Fish On application for the 1 million sovereign fishermen program. Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan started the 1 million sovereign fishermen program by introducing Fish On application to Sukabumi fishermen to optimize sea potential and manage their marine products independently. A press release of the Maritime Coordinating Ministry in Jakarta on Wednesday said Luhut Binsar Panjaitan did it during his visit to the Palangpang fish auction site in Ciwaru Village, Sukabumi, West Java. Fisherman training using the Fish On application marked the Sovereign 1 Million Fishermen program launched in Jakarta last Monday. For this year, it is targeted that there will be a minimum of 300,000 fishermen from 300 coastal districts or cities to receive training in fishing with 4.0 technology support. During his visit in Sukabumi, Luhut Panjaitan explained fishermen are trained to use the Fish On application to have efficient catching as well as market fish online. The training includes work safety standard at sea and determining fishing grounds and catch management. Luhut added, with this program, fishermen are expected to be able to directly sell their catch to consumers without going through middlemen. They can immediately find out places where there are fish. This makes their operation more efficient. This method will be more effective because they can get a good price. The Fish On application also features information on fish theft, fish preservation, fish sales, communication of recording fish catches, a panic button for requests for assistance in emergencies, electronic payment features, and daily needs shopping. In addition, there is a sales and warehouse management application for fishing cooperatives, an online fish auction application that connects fish auction sites, fishermen, and fish traders, and an e-commerce fish sales website application. In Luhut's dialogue session with fishermen, their representatives asked the government to provide technology or tools that fishermen could use when dealing with extreme weather while fishing in the middle of the sea. There was also a demand for modernization of fishing machines, from tinting machines to 15 PK outboard engines. According to Luhut, the government will try to realize the request. However, he reminded that fishermen should guard the sea from garbage and not damage coral reef with bombs. Luhut said the program should continue to Ambon, Maluku, East Nusa Tenggara, and 5 other locations. The fishermen will be trained for 2 weeks to study the application. According to him, the president hopes that 3.7 million fishermen can prosper. Well, that was My Indonesia Today on Fish On application for the 1 million sovereign fishermen program. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasif, Voice of Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
memberi cahayanya di setiap insan. Malam yang dingin, ku harap engkau memberikan kerinduan di sela mimpi-mimpinya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Malian Sampi is a cow race tradition which is conducted by Lombok people in West Nusa Tenggara, Indonesia. In Sasak language, Malian Sampi consists of two words, namely Malian means run after, and Sampi means cow. Malian Sampi is held at 200 meters wide of rice field, where the condition of the field has been high-checked and submerged in water, which is called Inen Bangket. A couple of cows to be competed are to be dressed at first. Malian Sampi is held by cow breeders and farmers. The time of the implementation of the race is at planting season, because at the time, the field is still empty and watery. Malian Sampi is the religious symbol of Lombok people's life. The rule of the Malian Sampi competition is very simple. There are 4 to 5 pairs of participants walking side by side, which is in Sasak language called bedelok. When entering pelengkungan or the field, the cow must be driven quickly. Meanwhile, the river scream ho, ho, ho in order the cow runs faster. The peak of Malian Sampi is accompanied by cheers from the spectators. In Malian Sampi, there are rules which must be obeyed by every participant. The cows which are driven must run strictly, agile, when passing through the pelengkungan, and they are not allowed to touch or hit it. The jury who gives marks is usually the spectators. The cow which participates in Malian Sampi must obey the rules. Besides, the agile and harmony of movement of the cows are also marked. This harmony is called tandang by Sasak people. The ears and tails of the cows must be up. If the cow becomes the winner in the Malian Sampi, besides getting compliment and fame, its price will be expensive. Malian Sampi has been well known since the government of Dutch East Indies period around 18th century and during the Japanese colonial. The tradition has been preserved until now, especially in West Narmada Lombok, and every year it is held as form of grateful on abundant rice harvest and secondary products. The event is usually flocked by not only local people, but also foreign tourists. The cows which are dressed up attract people's attention. The spectators' cheers are heard when the cows are driven and run faster. The wet and muddy arena adds boisterous of the competition. Malian Sampi tradition is similar with other places, but Malian Sampi still has own attraction with another cow race in Indonesia, even in the world. Now the Malian Sampi becomes a cultural event as the gratefulness of not only the farmers and breeders, but also the tourism objects, especially in Narmada, West Lombok. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Putri Safira Adela. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Miscellany. Celentung music performed by students at Garut Square, West Java at the 2019 Garut Culture Enchantment Festival broke the world record of the RHR or Record Holder Republic version. Celentung is a new version of traditional musical instrument typical of Selawi, an area in Garut Regency that was introduced at the 2019 Garut Enchantment Culture Festival. In the record-breaking, participants played two songs, namely a folk song and a national song titled Indonesia Pusaka, within 10 minutes. On Saturday, April 6, 2019, the record taker based in the United States assessed the Celentung performance held at Garut Square as a world record holder, with the most participants reaching 206 students. Celentung is a musical instrument made of bamboo with a length of about 30 cm. Two pendulums mounted on the side of the bamboo sphere function as drummers. It is played by being kecak or shaken using one hand. The tones produced by celentung are different, similar to angklung, which has the pentatonic tones do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. Everyone sounds each tone alternately. The unique sound of celentung is the main attraction, especially if collaborated with other traditional musical instruments such as kecapi and kendang. Indonesia's Vice President of RHR or Record Holder Republic, Lia Mutisari, said that this type of musical instrument never existed and entered a unique category, according to the world. She hopes that this record breaking will inspire a cultural movement to make Indonesia famous in the eyes of the world. In addition to representatives from Record Holder Republic, the record breaking in the 2019 Garut Culture Enchantment Festival was also attended by representatives from the ambassadors of Serbia, Bosnia, and Slovakia. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. I'm Putri Safitradella. See you next time.
Voice of Indonesia.
Senandung kisah pelangi yang mewarnai langit sore ini, menghapus awan yang kelam yang menutupi langit penuh bintang. Dan ku berharap ada di sana. Jangan kau khawatir sahabatku, langit tak selamanya kelabu. Bila sang mentari telah bersinar, esok kita kan berlayar lagi. You. yang seakan tak lepas dari jalanmu, mengurung semua ruangmu, dan hanya kecewa jadi pijakan. Kini ku kan ada di samping.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. It's nice to meet again with me, Putri, in Music Corner segment. In today's edition, we present a song in keroncong genre entitled Melati di Tapal Batas. The theme of the song is struggle, which was composed by Ismail Marzuki, an Indonesian talented composer. Although the song was created in the era of the struggle of Indonesian independence, it is still easy listening and also arousing sense of nationalism. A lot of Indonesian singers sang the song. Nur Agni Savitri, or more known Savitri, sings Melati di Tapal Batas song in modern keroncong or keroncong in lounge. It is keroncong music, which is nicely packaged with Indonesian and international arrangement. Listener, here is Melati di Tapal Batas, sung by Savitri.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.